Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come upon us in this moment that we might again see Jesus. Holy Spirit, descend upon us, open our hearts, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts may be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Bethlehem is abuzz. Abuzz. Words wag from tongue to tongue, up and down the tiny streets. Have you seen them? The dark, swarthy individuals with the Persian accents. I walked by one of their camels. I could smell the myrrh, the frankincense. Emma says that there's gold, real gold in town. Excitement all around. I saw those astrologers bowing the knee before baby Yeshi, falling down before Mary's son as he cooed and coddled on her lap. I saw it with my own two eyes. Bethlehem is abuzz. Bethlehem, the little town, only claim to fame, King David's birthplace. Bethlehem, with the old men, their craggy brows and yellowed teeth, sitting at the city gate, rapsing, happy, excited, wondering at Mary's son. Oh, blessed be Adonai. The boy bellers like a baby calf. He has lungs on him, that one. And who knows what he will be. Indeed, what he will be. A new king born here. The Magi say as much. These wise men from across the desert. A child whose star they have followed. Followed through the heavens these long months. To arrive here. Here at David's town. So there is joy all around, singing, dancing, for a king has been born once again in Bethlehem. It's about time as well that Judea remembered what Bethlehem is all about. And then one night, the strangers are gone. Only the camel tracks, a sign of their presence. The next night, the baby king who wails like a bellerin' little calf, he too is vanished. Vanished like a night dream. And so there is more stir, more excitement. What might this mean? Until 2 days later. The torches in the early morning, the concussions of the doors breaking down, the wails and bellows of mothers and fathers. By day's end, 23 little boys piled by the gate where the elders sat not a day before. 23 with dull eyes staring and yet not staring. 23 mouths opened in wordless screams. Herod's soldiers, grisly work. And as the strike team leaves, the kin comes forward one by one to take the lifeless little bodies, to give them proper burial with their fathers and mothers in the tombs. And so Bethlehem, the town that had sang the day before, now weeps, weeps, wails, keens like a wild animal. It is as if Grandmother Rachel herself is crying. Grandmother Rachel, Jacob, Israel's wife. Indeed, as St. Matthew grasps about to try to explain the horror of this day, all he can think of is the words of the weeping prophet Jeremiah. A voice is heard in Ramah, great weeping and lamentation. It is Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, for they are no more. on this day when Bethlehem should be singing, singing at the King come down, Bethlehem can only sob, for the children are no more. In many ways, Christmas is a time of singing, is it not? Carols blaring from mall kiosks, the songs on the radio, churches festooned with red and green, houses filled with ornaments, lights, and trees decked to the gills. Joy, lives abuzz, stories carried from wagging tongue to wagging tongue. Memories, people gathering together, for it is the Christ Mass. God has come down. A holy day, a holiday, we call it. The day when the King returns. The day when David's town is blessed again. Little Bethlehem of Judea, birthplace of a king twice over. And yet, as some sing, sometimes we cannot help but sob. We should be singing, right? Because this is the day that God came down. And yet, our loved ones are no more. They are not here. They are not here. Whether it's the baby girl who never saw the light of day, never felt the warmth of the sun on her little cheek, whether it's the brother who fell asleep at the wheel just outside of Clinton, whether it's the mother who ground her teeth for 3.5 years with stomach cancer, whether it is the husband who falls down dead in the garden, the spade still in his hands. They are gone. And in this time of rejoicing, they are gone. They should be here to sing with us. They should be able to come to midnight mass with us and kneel with us at the altar and receive the bread and the wine. How old would they be now? And so, when we should be singing, all we can do is sob and weep. Because they are no more. We cry with Rachel, Grandmother Rachel. We mingle with those mothers and fathers of Bethlehem as they wail over the broken bodies of their children. We weep. And it is into that sorrow this evening that the Holy Spirit whispers a promise. The Holy Spirit speaks through that weeping prophet Jeremiah. For St. Matthew only gestures in his direction, knowing that we will look up the rest of the passage. Jeremiah prophesies, "Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your work, declares the Lord. And they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children shall come back from their own to their own country. God promises the weeping mothers and fathers of little Bethlehem that the children will come home from the land of the final enemy, death. They will again cross the boundary, shuttled by God Himself into the light of this world, physically present once again in resurrection. God Himself will do it. Do you see Him? Do you see the miracle that He works on that future day? Do you see the man walking with bleeding hands and bleeding feet, the crimson stain on his side as he paces between the bodies, the tiny bodies of the 23? Do you hear the slap of his sandal in the gravel of our own graveyards, kneeling there beside our mother, brother, sister, father, husband, wife, son, daughter? And the trumpet sound rolls over the hills, an archangel's voice shakes the earth to its core, and Jesus, the man of sorrows, acquainted with our grief, lays his torn hands on our loved ones' heads, and bones knit back together, flesh, tendon, and skin spring into place, eyes flutter open, and lungs gasp for air once again as they awake to everlasting life. God promises that He will raise our loved ones from the dead. Jesus promises. And so we grieve this evening. We do grieve. We lament, for they are not here. But we lament, as the Apostle Paul says, in hope. Because Jesus promises, I will raise them from the dead. I will bring them back from the land of the enemy, the final enemy, death. I will bring them back to their own land, so that someday in the future, we will all, we and them, gather together physically, not just spiritually, but physically around Jesus' table and toast the man of sorrows, who has borne our grief and entered into our pain and has raised our loved ones from the dead. Hear the good news. Hear the promise of Jesus this evening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen.